ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 65. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Ye also are the confidence, in verse 5, of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off. And I don't have time to go into all this, but man, afar off, that's what we were. We were the Gentiles. They were the Jews. We were way out there. Ephesians talks about a middle wall of partition even inside of Israel. We couldn't get closest to the Jewish man. Even when we were in the city, we couldn't get as close. We were far off. The Bible says those that are afar off and them that are far off upon the sea. You say, well, he's talking about not land. He's talking about sea. But he talks about the sea in other places. Look down a little bit further when he talks about the water. We'll see it in verse 7. He says, you still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, the noise of their waves. Look at the next phrase. And the tumult of the people. Those that are afar off are in the sea of humanity. We talk about the sea of humanity. The book of Revelation talks about a great harlot sitting upon a great beast in the midst of the sea. It was the nations, peoples, and tongues that worshiped the beast. What is my point? God silences, and this is something to remind ourselves. He silences the noise of the tumult of the people in verse 7. You know, our world right now is crying for blood against anybody who believes in marriage between a man and a woman. Who believes in differences between men and women. Who believes just basic, normal stuff. Normal stuff. And you and I are being told through our constant stream of propaganda that these things are not necessarily true anymore. Certain states and certain countries even have allowed themselves to become part of that nonsense that champions putting on the birth certificates, wait till later, we'll let you know. Clause. You don't have to put down male or female because you're so progressive. You can put down, we'll wait and when they decide, we'll tell you. No. It's obvious. And they're without excuse. But it's a tumult because there's a lot of uproar that's going on. And people are bustling against Almighty God. And you and I are getting caught up in it because sometimes we're afraid to say the right thing even though it's so obvious. As they say, as the nose on your face. Verse 8 says, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. I mentioned again the tokens. What are the tokens? They're the signs. They're the waymarks. It's like if I gave you directions, say, go down here to the Warrior restaurant, turn left, go in and get a good pizza. You say, I get it. The Warrior pizza, I'm there. You know, you might have missed it if you're a guy. You might have heard pizza and forgot what I said. You know, got to focus, guys. That's good pizza down there. What I'm saying is that the waymark, you know, you say, go down and there's this big place. It's a mall. Turn right. There's a Burger King. Now I've lost you completely. All I'm saying is that that's what the signs of God are. He gives them to you all the time. He's letting you see the world go off the rails. He's letting you watch it slowly implode, fold in on itself. There's no way it can work what they're saying. It cannot work. It's going to fall apart. The Jenga tower's too high. You take one more thing out, what's going to happen? The economy will fail, whatever. And you know what? God will still be good. He will. He's always good. And what I want you to get in your mind's eye here is he says those people are afraid down in their core. They know they're playing with fire. But they do it anyway. And I think for you and me, we live in a very crazy time if we are honest with ourselves. So he's been, first of all, reflecting, right? He's been doing some reflection on the realities that he has just witnessed in those feasts. But now he's going to do some projection a little bit more deliberately. He says, you visit the earth, verse 9, and water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God. And you underline the words river of God. It's not just the rivers, it's the river of God. Because now, he's projecting. He realizes there's something more than this reality. And that river of God, where that really connects for us, is in Psalm 46. It says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That is in Psalm 46. And then in Revelation 22, it says, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's in the New Jerusalem. the psalmist in Psalm 46 knew there was one. Revelation 22, John saw it. Okay? This river is the one that makes glad the hearts of the people of God. Do you know, no matter what comes down here, Day of Atonement's been done. Jesus has paid for our gift of eternal life. He has atoned for our sins. The Bible says He is the propitiation for our sins, which means He's the atonement. He's the appeasement of God. God's angry with our sin. God stays His hand, giving us a chance to make a decision, give us quietness and clarity, and we can make a decision. But then, if we choose poorly, He will allow us to perish. But for those who receive the Lord, the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become children of God. The Bible says that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's the alternative. You're either going to perish or you're going to go up to glory and be with God for eternity. He made us for eternity, therefore we will exist for eternity. But some will exist in everlasting death. It's called the second death, to be cast into hell. Or everlasting life, where we are firing on every cylinder the human being can even imagine and beyond our imaginings. The Bible says you visit the earth with water. Thou greatly enrichest the world in which you created with the river of God. So now we have that hope, it says, which is full of water. You prepare them corn. Thou also hast provided for it, the earth. He gives us food. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, man, it's so neat that when you eat, it tastes so good. You know, we could just be eating on tasteless nothing, knowing we just need to stop. It's like getting gas. Don't you hate to get gas at the gas station? It's terrible, right? It's like you don't get anything for it. You're driving. You don't get any pleasure out of getting the gas. You don't even think about it. Just, man. That'd be like eating. If you just ate something tasted like nothing because you knew if you don't recharge, you're just going to go like the Energizer Bunny and fall over to the side. Listen, I'm telling you. Reality is that God made food good. And He made the earth to give us good food. And the Bible is very much about letting God get the credit for that. Do you know, we didn't create the corn. We didn't create the water. We might manipulate some flavors and come up with some things, but we got to start with the raw materials God alone has provided. Everything we enjoy down here, God gets the glory for it. The Bible says all that stuff is stuff that He has provided. Verse 10 says, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. That's talking about the furrows. And, you know, when the rain comes down, it pushes those furrows down. It's pretty cool. Watch how this unfolds. He says, you water the ridges thereof abundantly. You settle the furrows thereof. You make it soft with showers. And you bless the springing thereof. In other words, the food that comes out. You and I have been fed well last year. All things being equal, we're going to be fed well this year. And I want you to know, God be praised. I'm looking forward to dinner today. I haven't even thought about next week. Okay, I'm like, good, food. And I'm looking for it all the time. And they put these stupid restaurants everywhere, you know. Say, eat here, I'm in a quandary. My wife says, where do you want to go to eat tonight? Man, I don't even know. It's the favorite pastime of American people. We don't even know where to go eat. Why? Because we have so many choices. Why? Because God is good. See, you and I, we live on the bounty of His blessing. The Bible says, you crowned the year, verse 11, with your goodness. The paths and thy paths drop fatness. The Bible says, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. He says, you don't even know places God is providing food. Food that is going fallow because nobody even lives there. There's food over there. They talk about a population explosion. If it's crowded where you live, move. There's other places. Just go in the middle of Pennsylvania. So, man, you keep going. There's nothing anywhere. I'm telling you, man. There's places. There's nobody. But there's food out there. The Bible says you put food out there in the wilderness. You put pastures out there in the wilderness. It says, and the little hills rejoice on every side. It says the pastures, verse 13, are clothed with fox, and the valleys are also covered with corn. They shout for joy, and they also sing. Shouting, rejoicing, singing. You know what that is? That is, verse 8, tokens. Tokens. People who live lost lives, who never know Jesus, and yet take of the food and act like it's their right. They're basically stealing from the king. Because they give him no praise for it, they give him no thanks for it, they think they deserve it, and their minds get set and fastened in that condition. But when their eyes wake up, kind of come around to opening toward the end of their lives, they're going to realize something. There is no discharge from the war of death. It's a battle. People are battling for their last breath. People are battling for their last maybe hug or smile from somebody. When I went to see my dad at the latter part of his life, those last few days, I saw my dad fighting a battle. And this is in Ecclesiastes. It says there's no discharge from this war. I saw it in vivid color with my dad because I was the only person who came to see him. Can you imagine having to die alone? Many people do today. And they die alone many times and scared, but they don't have to because Jesus, if you're saved, you'll never be alone. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm just going to close with this little take on verse 13. It says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. I'm going to take a little license here and tell you this. The pastures. The Bible says in Psalm 100, I believe it is, we are the sheep of his pasture. So there's the flock. It's covered. You know what that is? That's projection. There's coming a time when the earth is going to be filled with the righteousness and the glory and the knowledge of the Lord. When it says that the corn, it says that they're also covered with corn. The Bible says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. You can't take a grain of wheat and eat it and expect to get any more out of it than you just did. But if that grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it can bring forth a whole crop. Because you can take what comes from it and take what comes from it and take what comes from it and keep replanting. And pretty soon you got a whole field pulled up because that's the way God designed it. But you know what? In that kingdom, in the future, we're going to see corn everywhere because it's not going to have to die anymore. We're going to be home. We're the sheep of his pasture. We are his flock. We are his, what we call the grain, because he says, gather all the grain into the store, the corn. And the Bible says, these will shout for joy. Those are tokens now, shadows for what's coming. In the substance, we will shout for joy. We will sing. It's a new year, beloved. And I want to encourage you to realize the Day of Atonement has passed. The Feast of Tabernacles has passed. We've just celebrated that. But what should that make us do? It should make us reflect. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. Now we need to serve our King. We need to make some determinations, not vows per se, but resolves, resolutions. He says in verse 1, he says, unto thee shall the vow be performed. Are you making any of those? Are you going to be nicer? Are you going to be more diligent in reading your Bible? Are you going to be diligent in being in church or reaching out to other people? Memorizing scripture? Are you going to do something different for God? Are you going to raise him up on the list and say he's going to be the priority? Listen, nothing else matters. But if you get him right, everything else will fall into place. Relationships will fall into place. Your heart will calm down and you will find inside of yourself a peace that Jesus promised. He said, peace give I unto thee. Not peace like the world gives, but my peace give I to thee. Only God can give you the kind of peace you need. And this morning, I want you to know that in 2019, God's going to be good. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.